5 years ago, I was paying $65 a month for my subscriptions. Today, those same subscriptions cost $111, and I don't even use half of them anymore. That's why now I use Rocket Money to manage my subscriptions for me. The app gives you a list of all of your subscriptions and reminds you of upcoming payments, so you're not hit with any surprise charges. On top of that, it also sends you alerts when subscription prices go up, so you always know the price you're paying. If you decide you no longer want a subscription, you can cancel it right from the app. No customer service needed. And the best part is, Rocket Money even reaches out and tries to get you refunded for some of the money you lost. On average, people that cancel their subscriptions with Rocket Money save $378 a year. And overall, Rocket Money has saved its members $880 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Para mi familia, siempre estoy en mi mejor momento. Por eso también quiero lo mejor en mi cocina. Y eso significa solamente huevos de Eggland Best. Siempre tienen un sabor tan fresco y delicioso, con 6 veces más vitamina D, 10 veces más vitamina E y 25% menos grasas saturadas que los huevos comunes. Entonces, ¿por qué darle menos a tu familia cuando pueden tener lo mejor? Eggland's Best. Mejor sabor, mejor nutrición, mejores huevos.
We're gonna cause trouble. Scott Farrell is calling the shots from the sideline.
We're gonna make fun of people. We're gonna hurt people's feelings.
It's Farrell on the bench.
I believe in whipped cream with everything.
All right, it's Farrell on the bench. In the biggest way possible, of course, here on a pain-free Friday, Carver High and Mafia in for Scotty tonight on his way to Pittsburgh for the big Broncos-Steeler game at the Ketchup Bottle coming up on Sunday. We are here with you for the next couple hours on Sports Grid Radio, Sirius XM, Channel 204, Mightier 1090 out in Southern California. And I bring in, of course, the great Brian Ciano, Mafia. Good evening, Mafia. How are you?
What's going on, Mike? Glad to be doing this. It's been a while since you and I filled in for Scotty, so what better day to do it than a football Friday? We got some great college matchups, some good NFL games, got the baseball playoffs, although this game's kind of a throwaway at this point. This is terrible.
Wow. I mean, Devers just went yard again for Boston, as they have now extended to 11-6. Lead in the top of the sixth inning. This has been a very strange game, Mafia, obviously, because the Red Sox took an early lead in this one. They had 2-0 lead in the first. The Rays come back and take a 5-2 lead. And then the Red Sox now have just absolutely been steamrolling them since. So 11-6, top of the eighth inning, down at the Trop, as the Red Sox are looking like they're going to bring this thing back to Fenway 1-1 for a game three on Sunday.
Yeah, and all those runs you're talking about, the 2 runs and the 5 runs, that was all first inning. I mean, Chris Sale was absolutely terrible. Gave up 5 runs in one inning, gets run right out of there, like the shortest of his career, I think they were showing. So he was just absolutely terrible, gets run out of there, and it looked like Tampa was just controlling at home and going to take a 2-0 lead. And then now all of a sudden, the late innings, Boston has taken over, gets that bullpen.
Yeah, and now, like we said, this one you could just about put to bed. 11-6, Boston leads Tampa right now, top eight. The other game going on, Mafia, is in the National League, the much-anticipated Giant-Dodger series, game one at Oracle by the Bay. Walker Buehler on the hill against Logan Webb, and the Giants have gotten out to a 2-0 lead. Buster Posey goes Oppo Taco over the right field wall out there in the Bay, and we have a 2-0 lead for the Giants, who, listen, we talk about this all the time, Mav. You know, you want to keep giving me some juicy numbers with the Giants, you know, plus 130 to win the division, plus money again tonight at home in a game one. I mean, just keep giving it to me. We'll just keep taking it. Keep giving me the big numbers with the Giants. Mav, let's go.
Yeah, and you know who's sweating out every Giants run is the books. I don't know if you saw that today, that Over $1 million losses for a lot of these books. If the Giants win, with how long odds they were 101 before the season started, and we saw throughout the season, Mike, that they just kept leaving them out there. No, didn't matter if they were in first, didn't matter how far back the Dodgers or the Padres were. They didn't believe in the Giants, and they kept having the Dodgers and the Padres as the minus money favorites or the better favorites for that division, and keeping the Giants further down the board as far as winning a title. So if they take the title, it's going to cost Vegas and these sportsbooks around the country a lot of money.
Yeah, I mean, the Giants, I mean, their win total was in the 70s. You know, this is how unexpected a season this has been. They end up with 107 wins. They're the best team in baseball. And it is kind of – and I understand both teams were kind of crying about it, Mafia, but it is true. Like, it is kind of messed up that they had to play each other in the division series here. 107 wins, 106 wins, the two best teams in baseball. And it's just the way that the dopey postseason in the Major League Baseball works out, that because the wild card team faces the team with the best record, sure enough, you get the Dodgers and the Giants. I would have preferred an NLCS, seven games of this. But hey, Moff, we got to take what we can get, right?
Yeah, you got to take it. But it's going to be a great series no matter when it happens, whether it was later on, one series from now or this series. It's not like it's really changing. It's not like three series down the playoffs like if we're in, some of these other sports. It would have been just one series later. I know they used to have it where it was just the one wild card, and the wild card didn't play their division opponent if they would have met in the first round. But it is what it is. You get the matchups you get. If the Dodgers didn't want to face them, they should have – well, I can't even say they should have beat them and taken the division, because they still would have faced them. It just would have been.
No doubt. We also welcome in all of our radio affiliates, of course. Sports Byline, Mightier 1090, Sirius XM, Pharrell on the Bench. On a Friday night, Carver High and Mafia in for Scotty as he's off to the ketchup bottle this weekend for the Broncos and the Steelers. So we've got all the playoff baseball tonight. We have all the NFL and the college football league. In fact, Mafia, we have college football tonight. As Cincinnati, who was up 17-3 at the half, and boy, has that changed. I think the last time I saw it was 51-3. Let's see where the Bearcats are at right now. I'm sorry, 52-3 now, Mafia. Cincinnati absolutely destroying, pasting the Temple Owls right now. Nice stuff from Cincy.
Listen, that's what they want to do if they want to have a chance at the college football playoffs. They're not going to get the respect. I know they've gotten a higher ranking than they did last year and would have previous years since they've been around for a couple of years. But if you want to have a chance at those playoffs, you have to pace every team in front of you right now, because they don't match up to what these other teams are going to be playing in their conference schedule.
Yeah, and they need style points. They're the one team that's going to need style points. They're getting them tonight, 52-3 over the Temple Owls. All right, Pharrell on the Bench, Carver High and Mafia, Sports Grid Radio. We keep rocking after this.
It's a different go out there.
So many possibilities, prospects, and probabilities. It's easy to become overwhelmed.
That's where we come in.
Relax. We're your trusted source for expert information on sports gaming strategies and information. This is the Sports Grid Radio Network.
All right, here we go. Pharrell on the Bench, Carver High and Mafia. We're back in for Scotty tonight. Tonight and Monday night. Scotty will be back on Tuesday as he has an extended weekend in the Steel City. And hopefully the Steelers are going to come through for him. I actually think they are, Mafia, believe it or not. I've been on this train for a while now. I don't believe in the Denver Broncos. Like, I don't think they're that great. I think that they beat up three tomato cans the first three games of the season. They played the Giants. They played the Jaguars. They played the Jets. They played a real team last week, and they lost.
Oh.
Well, look.
Take the shot at the Jets, of course.
Be fair, Moff. I'm just being fair here. That's all.
Yeah, they
suck. Being fair. That's all. And now they play in a couple of real teams. Now, and the Steelers have to be ultra desperate this weekend. They're 1-3. They've looked miserable. They need a big performance on their home field in the absolute worst way. This line has bounced, of course, back and forth. Denver opened a 1.5 favorite. It went yesterday to Pittsburgh being a point favorite. And now with Bridgewater practicing today, it's gone back to 1.5. I even see it at 2 in a couple of spots for the Denver Broncos. Steelers, 60% of the tickets. Money is split. Everybody's on the under here, too. Geez, 78% tickets in the 90s in money of the under, which is right now clocking at 39.5. So I think the Steelers get it done, Mavi. I think that Scotty's going to get a win. They're going to get back in the mix against the Broncos on Sunday.
You know what? I felt a lot better about this when we thought it was going to be Drew Lock. You know, with Drew Lock in there, I said, yeah, they could definitely make this happen. That he's going to turn the ball over. They got to take chances. He makes some stupid plays. He's got all the, you know, arm talent in the world, but hasn't learned to just take the safe play sometimes. Now he's gotten better, you know, and the preseason looked better this year than he looked in his starting gigs, you know, the previous years. But still, A, that's preseason, so you're not getting the best anyway. But now that Teddy Bridgewater might be there, it worries me a little bit more because that defense for the Steelers hasn't lived up to the hype after game one. Game one against your Bills, they looked awesome. They looked world beaters. That's why I drafted them high in my fantasy draft, and you know they're going to give me all these kind of points. The subsequent weeks, they've been terrible, awful. Especially with, you know, Watt being banged up. They're getting lit up like a candle, and it's like, what happened to that team from week one against a really good Bills team, as you know? You know, your Bills offense has been rolling, and somehow they shut them down on the road. So I don't know what's going on with them. Until that defense can show me that they have something still, you know, that they can hold it down and not make Big Ben throw it 40 times a game because their running game still isn't there, then I can't believe in them. You know, with Bridgewater, he makes a safe play. You know, Teddy check down, gets it done. He's not going to take it to a Super Bowl, but he gets wins. And with a defense like that, with the Broncos defense that is performing up to where they should be, that is making it so he doesn't have to score that many points, it makes it so that I feel good if the Broncos have him on their center, that I think they could win on Sunday.
Yeah, they got it. They got to dig deep, the Steelers. Got to dig deep here. This is a big moment. This is your season. I mean, let's be fair. You go to 1-4. That's just it's not happening, especially with how stacked the AFC is this year. There's too many good teams. You cannot go to 1-4 in this spot. This is a team that I think you can beat. You get him in your building. You need Ben to just dig down and turn back the clock a little bit here, and your offensive line. That's the thing. Their offensive line is so awful. They need them to block a little bit, get some things going, and it's not gonna be pretty. But ugly ones count the same, and I think that that's what the Steelers need to find on Sunday. And I'm sure that Scotty will take a win any way that he can get it if he's going to make the trip, because there's nothing more miserable, Mafia. And I used to do this with Buffalo all the time when I would go up there for a game. There's nothing more miserable than traveling to these games and your team loses. It just stops. I know he's like the first game with the Raiders. I had a good time. It's miserable. When you put the time in, the effort, the money to travel, to see your team play, and you get there, and they do not show up for you, it's just brutal, Moff. It's just brutal.
Right, it's bad enough when you're in the city that you're going to, and you know, got to take a train to get there or something, spend the money on dinner and stuff at the game and whatnot. When you're traveling to a different city, which is not a big, you know, gap from New York to Pittsburgh. Yeah. It's like a 45-minute flight, but still the money to fly there, because there is so few flights, not many people going, the money to stay in the hotel, well, you got to pay for dinner and, you know, food at the game, all that kind of stuff. It adds up for just one game, let alone, you know, the package that he's got with the season tickets this year. And especially when you come in the different extremes of the season, where he was just there a couple weeks ago and it's like 85 degrees, bright and sunny, and you're melting, or you get there in, you know, December and all of a sudden it's 20 below and you're in a foot of snow. You know, now he might hit the fall, winter sweet spot with the weather here. Maybe a little cooler, hopefully, for him on Sunday so he doesn't melt out there. But, yeah, it's rough, especially, like you said, in this division now, this isn't what it used to be. This isn't – you can kick around the Browns and you can kick around the Bengals and you could just have to battle the Ravens for the division. You know, this isn't the NFC East where, you know, mediocrity might win the division. This is a new AFC North where – all four teams are good. And right now, the Browns and the Bengals are actually better than the Steelers and might be just as good, if not better, than the Ravens overall.
Yeah. And you could even take it a step further, Mafia. I mean, not just the division, but even though there's extra wild card now and they have three wild card teams, like, you've got four teams right now in the AFC West that, you know, have great records. Whether, you know, 3-3-1 teams, we got the Chargers, the Raiders, the Broncos, the Chiefs, of course, even though they're 2-2, that ain't going to last forever. They're going to be in the mix and make the playoffs. You know, I think that the Bills and the Titans are going to be the two teams in those other two divisions, but you're talking about three wild cards for, you know, and they, could they all come out of those two divisions? Yeah, but it seems like every team in those divisions is going to be competitive, especially if you're a believer in the Bengals or you're a believer in the Raiders. AFC is very tough this year. Very tough.
Yeah, it's going to be three spots for six teams from those divisions.
Yeah.
Wholeheartedly, I agree. That the AFC East, the AFC South, you're going to get division winner. That's it. And their record probably isn't going to be – well, the Bills will be. The Bills will be one of the top teams, obviously, beating up on the rest of the teams. But honestly, the way the Titans looked against the Jets last week, I don't have much belief in them having a great record this year. I think they're going to take a step back, and they're just going to be lucky that the rest of their division is terrible.
Yeah, and look, the Bills get they got the good side, and this changes every year. You never know what divisions are going to be good, what divisions are going to be bad. But the Bills did end up playing, you know, they got the AFC South as their crossover, you know, so they're playing Houston and Jacksonville, and they're playing, you know, they've got the Titans in a couple of weeks. The teams in their division have not been good. You know, they're a lot better this year than the Dolphins, the Jets, and the Patriots. So that's six games right there. The Bills are going to get a chance to stack. Later on, we will talk about their big matchup on Sunday night with the Kansas City Chiefs. We're looking for the Bills to bust out in a big way after losing twice to Kansas City a year ago, Mafia. We'll keep going through the card here. At first hour, we'll do a lot of NFL. Second hour, we'll go through a lot of the college games. There is a college game, Mafia, that's starting in about 15 minutes out in Tempe. We've got Arizona State and Stanford. This has actually gone down, I think I just saw it, to 12.5 for the Stanford Cardinal. I'll tell you now, Mafia, I like Stanford tonight against Arizona State. There's still some 13.5s around, a couple 12.5s too, but I'm on Stanford here to stay with the points as we'll be watching this one while we're doing the show.
Yeah, I'm with them too. I just don't believe in Herm Edwards and the Sun Devils, really. Stanford has shown us some good upsets here, you know, in the season. They just did that against Oregon. Whether they got helped out by the refs or not to get into overtime, they made it count when they got to the extra time there. You know, late in the down situation there, they get the pass. The kid bounces off a bunch of people, go in the end zone. Then they stop Oregon to get the win. So I believe they could do it here on the road against Arizona State, who's, you know, an okay team.
Absolutely robbed. Oregon got last week. Absolutely robbed. One of the worst calls I have ever seen at the end of a game. Poor Oregon. All right, Pharrell on the bench. Carver High and Mafia in for Scotty right here. Sports Grid Radio, SiriusXM Channel 204. We keep rolling. NFL this weekend right after this.
They were going through the motions. They were lifeless.
I don't like that or condone that at all.
I play it straight up, yo.
All right, Ed, we're back. Pharrell on the bench. Carver High and Mafia in for Scotty tonight as we are rocking, as always, on Sports Grid Radio. I got to go to the Jets now, Maf. Let's get to your team because they're playing the first kickoff on Sunday morning. It's weird. We didn't have the London game last year. I actually enjoy the 9:30 a.m. kickoff, even if it is a on-paper brutal game like the Jets and the Falcons could be shaping up to be. This weekend. But I got to tell you, Moff, I said this to Dane today on Coast to Coast. I'm in on the Jets on Sunday, man. I am. This thing's gone down now to 2.5 after it was at 3 all week. We're seeing where's the action at here, Moff? Let me get you some numbers on the Jets and the Atlanta Falcons.
Mostly on the Falcons, wow. It looks like on the 61% on the Falcons here.
Yeah, and out in Vegas, it's 68 on the Jets with tickets and 76 on money out in the Vegas casino. So, Look, Moff, I think that a little confidence after last week, they beat the Titans at home. Got to go over to across the pond, but Atlanta does too. Atlanta's missing two of their receivers. It seems like they don't know how to use Kyle Pitts yet. Maybe this is finally his breakout week. I don't know why. I'm just going to take the points in this game because these two teams are so awful.
Yeah, I'm going with that. And, you know, if it was probably before last week's games, I'd probably be on the Falcons. Hell, even maybe, you know, early in the week, I might still be on the Falcons just because, you know, that Jets defense showed up well against the Tennessee, but they have trouble scoring the offense. Until this week, they really had trouble scoring. And I'm not going to just say, oh, if one game, Zach Wilson's got to figure it out and this kid's going to put up points again. You know, it could be a quick regression going over in the different surroundings, you know, completely thrown off your week with the way you got to fly over there and try to figure things out, throws your body off. So, you know, I'd go with the more veteran-laden team in Atlanta. But now that Ridley's out with a personal issue, there are other top receivers, you know, out for other reasons. Like I said, they do have Pitts, but they haven't figured it out yet. Arthur Smith is a rookie head coach himself, so it's not like he's some guy that, you know, he does have experience, obviously, in Tennessee.
He looks lost. Watching him on the sideline in these last couple of games, he looks lost.
Right, that's the thing that's making me go to the Jets, too, because it seems like it's the same old Falcons. Just like last week, it was the same old lines, the way they were turning the ball over against Chicago. I mean, when have you ever seen someone get a bad snap that goes off the quarterback right into the D-back's hands? Only the Lions. Well, only the Falcons can have leads in every game and blow them late, like we saw again with Tyler Heinicke rushing in for that touchdown late to, you know, take over the lead and to win the game. So I think it might be, I don't want to say a shootout because these are two bad teams, but obviously I think it's going to slow down the Falcons offense a little bit, not having those receivers, just like it slowed down the Titans offense, not having their top two guys. And I think the Jets can make something happen off of that. Hopefully they get some pressure on Matty Ice like they did last week against the Titans, those six sacks that they had. I don't expect the same kind of performance, but, you know, against a mediocre team on all levels, I think the defense can make an impact, and I think Wilson can have some, you know, decent passes here.
No, look, and you brought up, you know, the kind of game that it's going to be. I think it's an under type of game. The total's 45 right now.
Yeah, there's going to be turnovers.
You've got two teams that haven't been very consistent offensively, and you're taking into account also the traveling over to London, which does make a difference. It does. And you usually see slow starts in these games too, which is why maybe a little under first half might be a nice way to go as well with the Jets and Atlanta. Man, Jets could climb themselves back to 2-3 with a win in jolly old England on Sunday morning. Miami.
And you know, Mike, you're talking about how you like the early starts. I like it in a way, too, because it kind of stinks the way you pull it away from it. It kind of like, got to start everything early. It's not like, oh, get my day started, do some stuff, and oh, now it's football. It's like, oh, wake up, get football, and then, oh, now I got a couple hours to kill before more football. But you know what? With the pandemic and the way it has kept us from doing these road trips that we love to do out to Vegas, it makes me feel a little bit like we're on the West Coast with the 9:30 start, because that's what we'd have to do. It's like, get rid of that hangover, because you got to wake up for football by, you know, 9 o'clock on a Saturday or 9:30 on, you know, 9 o'clock on a Sunday, or 10 o'clock, sorry, on a Sunday out in Vegas. So it makes me feel like we're there, even though we're not.
Yeah, and Sunday is going to be real tricky for me because, I mean, I'm usually up for the whole run anyway, but my team's playing at 8 o'clock on Sunday night, so I need to be, and I'm going to be fully locked and focused. So you're adding me in an element of a 9:30 a.m. game. I've got to make sure I make it, Mafia, all the way to my game. I mean, I'll be jacked up and ready to go once that thing kicks off. But that's a long day of football, man. It is. You're talking 12. The game usually ends about 11:30. You know, a good 14 hours if you sat there from when the Jets and the Falcons kick until when the Bills and the Chiefs end on Sunday. That's a long time. And if you got the wife and the kids and you got the family around the house, Maf, that doesn't go over very well that you're going to sit in front of the TV for 14 hours.
No, definitely not. I was even going to say, like, maybe we need a little midday nap there between games at some point. Maybe miss, like, the first quarter of the 4 o'clock. And then I'm like, oh, wait, he's not going to nap in his house.
No. Well, actually, I got – the situation I'm going to have is on Sunday, we've got a birthday party, one of Olivia's friends at school, which is at noon on Sunday. So I'll have to – you know, that'll kind of be the little break there. We'll head over to the party for a couple hours and then get home maybe by halftime of the 1 o'clock games. And away we go. So that's how I'm going to try to break up the 14 hours of football on Sunday.
Build up the brownie points so you don't get yelled at after that. So then you can sit back and watch football. And there's listen, I went to the birthday party. Don't you say nothing.
Look, I just – you know me. You know when I don't want to be bothered, which is once the ball goes in the air at 8:20 on Sunday night. That's – that because that I am pumped for this game, Mafia. This Bill Chief game, I am excited for it. Let's go to a couple other ones here. Miami goes to Tampa. Tampa, very spotty. Yes, they won at Foxborough. Offense wasn't really clicking. We played the Brady cut today on Coast to Coast of how, you know, we need touchdowns, not field goals. He's had some trouble in the past with Brian Flores, who, of course, used to be with Belichick in New England. Now he sees him again here, that style of defense. 10 is now the number, 9.5 at some places. I don't know, Maf. I think this is a bust out spot for the Bucs. I think this is a spot where, and Miami's getting all the action right now, 79% of the money, 52% of the tickets. I think Tampa busts out. I think they do win this game by 2 or 3 touchdowns. Miami stinks. They've gotten off to the wrong foot, Mafia, and it doesn't seem like with the Tua injury, the defense being sloppy, it just doesn't seem like it's going to get itself corrected with enough time to save their season.
Yeah, I'm wavering on this one because my gut feeling automatically was, yeah, Tampa's going to slaughter them because, you know, I was riding Miami last week against the Colts after they gave, wow, you know, a great performance under Brissett. You know, in Vegas, I thought, listen, this Colts team's a mess. You know, you never know what's going on, how healthy or not healthy Wentz is. I just didn't feel good about them, and they just shellacked Miami. Brissett looked terrible. It looked like the guy that, you know, should be backing up everybody and not starting. But so I automatically thought Tampa was going to have a bounce back game here after a rough run in New England. But now the more I think about it, you know, I'm kind of leaning towards Miami getting the points because I just think that, you know, they do have a good defense that hasn't performed well yet. They do have a good secondary. And we did see Tom Brady struggle badly in that game in New England. Now, you can say all you want about the rain or the, you know, what was going on around the return. But
that's nonsense. You know, he's played in that before.
Right. He knows how to deal with that, especially in New England. And he looked awful. He wasn't just, you know, missing guys. He was missing guys badly. He was looking, you know, like one of these rookies throwing the ball way over their head or at their feet. So I don't like how he's looked in that, you know, last game there. And Miami, I think, needs to have a big performance here. Like you said, Flores is going to know him well. So I'm going to take a chance here. I'm not betting the house on it. This isn't one of my top picks. But at this point, I think I am leaning towards Miami having a chance to cover, maybe even backdoor style here.
It's amazing, Mafia, because it's almost like they didn't want to come out and say it during the broadcast Sunday night. Like, he sucked on Sunday. Like, he did. Like, he wasn't good. He completed 50% of his passes. He just he missed some balls. He missed. Now, look, Brown probably should have caught one of those ones in the end zone at the end. It would have looked a lot better if Antonio Brown pulled one of those ones in, because those were two pretty good thrown balls that Brady had. But for the most part, he was inaccurate. He was bad. I don't want to hear about the weather. He's played up there a billion times in his life. I know he's been in Tampa for a year now, and the sun's gotten to him a little bit, but he's played plenty of those games. I just didn't like, Mafia, how that just – they really didn't want to just come out and say it. Just say it. He sucked Sunday night.
Of course not.
You don't want to sugarcoat it. Just please.
Listen, no one could ever criticize Brady on these broadcasts or these big networks, but also, you know, look who was calling the game. I mean, I can't stand watching Sunday Night Football with the volume on. Most times, I'm watching something else with my wife and have the game on the tablet with no volume on because Collinsworth loves everybody, and they're the greatest player, and they make the greatest plays he's ever seen on every single down. So, of course, he's not going to say that Tom Brady looked like crap and old.
Yeah, they just it's amazing how they just don't want to come out and say the guy was bad. Like, he had a bad night. No, we've got excuses for you. It's Tom. It's okay. But I think he gets right on Sunday. I think this is a good get-right spot. The Tampa D does stink, though, Moff. It does. And I think that Sunday was also on the flip side. You know, they didn't give up as many points as they've been giving up. But I think a lot of that had to do with New England's not that good.
No, they're not.
So that's why they didn't give up that many points. They're throwing the bouquets at Mac Jones. Oh, he went toe-to-toe with Tom Brady. I mean, come on. They didn't score that many
points. Tom Brady stooped to his level. That's what it was.
Right. That's exactly what happened. They didn't score. People have been scoring left and right on the Tampa D, and the Patriots didn't. So let's just relax here. But I don't know if the Miami offense is going to be able to do that either on Sunday against Tampa. But, man, they're missing a lot of guys. All right, Pharrell on the bench, Carver High and Mafia in for Scotty tonight right here on Sports Grid Radio. We will come back. We are going through all the NFL games, and we are kicking off, Mafia, out at Sun Devil Stadium between Arizona State and Stanford. Let's go. We keep rolling on Sports Grid Radio after this.
You're
We're living through a revolution. Sports gaming is sweeping the country.
You can feel it.
Soon you'll be drowning in noise from posers and wannabes.
They have noise.
We have analysis and expert information.
Stick with who you know.
This is the Sports Grid Radio Network.
All right, and we're back. Frill on the bench. Carver High and Mafia in for Scotty tonight right here on Sports Grid Radio. Getting you ready for all the NFL, college football. We've got MLB playoffs going on. Giants still up 2-0 on the Dodgers in the bottom of the fourth. And, man, the one thing the Giants do, they play great D, Maf. I mean, it's part of the reason why they are who they are. Their defense is stunning. They made a great play in the top of the fourth inning. Giant D, because, like, Listen, it's broken record stuff. We've talked about this all year. You know, you look at the names on this team, and it's just like, how has this team won 107 games? It's little things like playing great D and getting timely hits, and the Giants are the absolute best in the business at it.
Yeah, and it's, you know, a combination of that and the pitching. You know, they got a lot out of these pitchers that people did not expect, because this isn't a team that had to, you know, light everything up offensively, but still, they're a team that had a big run differential. They plus 210. They were one of the better teams in the league with run differential because they didn't let people score with that defense and that pitching. And then, you know, every run they scratched out, it counted, you know, twice as much.
It certainly did. And they're up 2-0 here. And Dodgers have work to do. There's no doubt. Bueller has been laboring here. He just keeps looking to the sky. It takes forever, this dude. Talk about a guy who takes a long time to pitch. And here we go. Our first bad coaching decision of the night in the Stanford-Arizona State game. I'm sorry, Moff, but when you're at the opponent's 40, you cannot punt. I don't care. I'm sorry. It's just it's fourth and six. You want to say that that's too long, whatever. You're on the other side of the 50. You're at the 40-yard line. Let's go for it here. I mean, honestly, we're punting already. It's a bad sign, Mafia. I'm telling you, David Shaw is going to coach himself to a loss tonight in Tempe. I can't stand it.
Oh. You know, it's a sign of the changing times, though, Mike, because you and I, we're not even that old. You know, I'm late 30s, early 40s. We are. I won't say which end either of us is. You know, we'll just keep that at that. But, you know, it's not like we're these guys at 50, 60 years old. Like, oh, when I grew up, the game was different. Like, but when we were kids and less, you know, up until like 5 years ago, anything outside the 30, you're definitely punting. And now, you know, when you see somebody on the 40, 35, and you know, it's not like, you know, fourth and 12 or fourth and 22, you're like, what the hell are you doing kicking the ball? Leave that guy on the sideline.
Yeah. No, it is true. And maybe that's just me talking because I have Stanford with the 13.5. We want to see them push the ball here. We want to see them continuing to move. I don't like when guys aren't aggressive, and Shaw is not right there with that punt. No, so Arizona State will take over. He's very old school, David Shaw. Philadelphia and Carolina on Sunday. I don't know what to think yet, Moff, of the Panthers. I'm not sure. Like, they've got a couple of decent wins. They've played a couple of teams that, I thought the win at home against the Saints was probably their best win. They didn't play very well against the Cowboys last week. They get the Eagles into their place now. Eagles have been awful offensively. The coach is, I mean, look, the coach is an idiot. Like, let's just, like, he's a wacko. Sirianni's nuts.
Hey,
he's got dog mentality. I think that that's the one thing where, like, when games like this with the Eagles are every week and I'm looking at how I'm going to break it down, this guy's only coached four games, and already when I see the Eagles in a game with a three-point spread, I'm like, yeah, you know, I want to take the Eagles, but their coach is just so he's out of his mind that I don't know if he's going to do something stupid during the game that's going to cost me. And that now is going to shy me away from betting on the Eagles, Mafia.
The thing, too, when you think about decision-making, you're like, well, when you listen to the guy's press conferences, he takes 4 minutes to explain everything, how he talks around and around and around.
He's
like,
trying to bore
what
people.
Happens if it's like fourth and three and you got to make a decision with like 30 seconds? So what union are you going to send out? Like, Is he just sitting there debating it forever and they just have someone else make the call? I don't know. I mean, I don't think he's a terrible coach yet. It's too early to say. I think that their offense looked awful in the first couple weeks, but it came alive last week. You know, the Chiefs' defense is bad, and they took advantage of it. It's just that their defense has been even worse, and they couldn't stop Tyreek Hill, you know, which really ticked me off because I had a nice anytime touchdown score parlay going. Derrick Henry hit. I had Sam Darnold running one in. And you know who I couldn't hit? Travis Kelce, because he's the only guy in the Chiefs who couldn't score last week. But still, I regress. And then, you know, starting to use Ertz again, which they should have been doing the whole time. I don't care if you know you heard about how the guy handled stuff for the last year and a half. He is your best pass catching weapon, hands down, if he's healthy. And I think that Ertz to Ertz has gotten pretty well for the last couple of weeks. And I think they got to make use more. But still, that defense is very scary in a bad way. This is a defense we heard a lot of guys talk about how great it is. You know, the front four and the front seven of the offensive line. Like, if it's games are one in the trenches and if they just make the right decisions, they can win a lot of games with these guys in this division. Well, it hasn't shown. They have not won a lot of games because those guys in the trenches have been awful. So that defense has been getting picked apart by everybody. Now, do I think Sam Darnold's a world beater and that, you know, without CMC in there, are they a little lesser? Yeah. And I think they're, you know, a good offense. I don't think they're a great offense, but I think they can pick apart that defense enough and their defense can stand up and make some plays. I know they're banged up in the secondary. That's why they made this trade to bring in your boy from New England. The former Bill, you missed so much, I know, up in the B-low. It's getting great to get rid of him. Now you're like, oh, man, that was a mistake. But he's not going to be there this week. And they still have to, you know, figure some things out here. But I think they're good enough to get a tight win here being at home.
Yeah, they should. Does it bother you as a Jet fan how much everybody, you know, only after a couple weeks is like, well, you know, Darnold's great. The Jets were the problem. That's it. I get it. He's run in a couple of touchdowns. Like, I think we need to relax here. Like, I don't think we've seen, like, you know, earth-shattering stuff from Sam Darnold over the first four games that this is such a home run move for Carolina. I don't think it's been that great, but some people have been talking like, oh, man, what a mistake. You see, Darnold's great now. It was the Jets the whole time. I'm not at that point yet, Mafia. Are you?
No. I mean, there is something to it. The Jets have been a cursed franchise in many ways, you know, because of their own ignorance, their own stupidity. Hiring Adam Gase was a dumb move. I never liked it when they did it. You know, I wanted McCarthy. Not that he's had great success in Dallas, but he was the best option out there of guys who had experience. Instead, you grab a guy from your own division who couldn't win in your division and bring him to your team thinking he's going to be different. I think he screwed up Sam Darnold. I think he didn't know what the hell he was doing, and it was just a bad situation for Darnold. Now, you know, he's in a better situation for him right now in Carolina. He's doing well. And you know what? I have no issues about that. Like, good for you, man. I hope you do well because he didn't leave us. He didn't screw us over. We, you know, I don't even say we screwed him over because, look, you got the number two pick and you got some incredible quarterbacks out there, new coaches, new, you know, GMs and stuff. They're going to come in here and say, listen, thanks, but you're not our guy. How can we pass up this guy? And while it hasn't looked great the first few weeks of the Zach attack here in New York, like, I think last week showed some glimpses of what you're going to see in the future. At least I hope so.
Zach attack.
And as good as Sam Darnold, you know, has been in Carolina, some of those passes that you had, you know, Zach make last week, Sam's not making. You know, that pass to Corey Davis, that run out of the pocket where he just says go deep and he bombs it over the top of the coverage. You're not getting that from Sam Darnold. So when you see things like that, you say, okay, I'm okay with this kid then instead of, you know, giving up on Sam, moving Darnold along. I hope he has good success in Carolina. I wish him the best. He, you know, did the best he could here. We didn't give him any weapons. You know, DJ Moore is a way better receiver than they ever gave him in New York. But I think you're right that people are starting to make a big deal out of it. Because, listen, he didn't do that in New York. He didn't run the ball for touchdowns like that. So, yeah, people aren't looking for it. As the season goes on, you get more tape on it. A couple of those are going to get lit up pretty quickly, and he might be out for a couple of weeks if he tries doing that later in the season.
Yeah, no doubt. Walker Buehler strikes out Yastrzemski to end the bottom of the fourth. So they go to the fifth in San Francisco, 2-0. The Giants lead the Dodgers game one NLDS there. Arizona State on the move. against Stanford, their first possession of the game. They're just about at midfield. They just picked up a first down on a pass on a 3rd and 6. So already halfway through the first quarter here, both teams. This is what we like. We want a low scoring, tight game, especially when you got a team getting 13.5. As now Jalen Daniels going deep. Ooh, and the kid caught it. Nope, he did not catch it. What a shame. What a shame that is, Mafia. The kid dropped it going down to the ground. So 3rd down coming up for Arizona State. Next game I really like, Mafia, and that is the WFT, the Washington football team at home against the New Orleans Saints. I'm not a buyer on the Saints. I don't think that they're that good. When you lose at home to the Giants, Moff, you got a problem, okay? And everybody's still kind of, I think, focused on what they did to the Packers in week 1. And we've seen that sometimes things that happen in week 1 are not reality. And I think that's eventually the case with the New Orleans Saints here. I don't think it's reality that they're a good football team. And they're going to go on the road here. Washington, who I also don't think is a good football team, but in a spot where they're getting a couple points at home, I like them to beat the Saints on Sunday.
This one's a tough one for me, I'm not going to lie. I keep going back and forth because, as you said, we haven't.
All right, Moff, we'll get you back. I'll get through this one, Moff, and then we'll get you back in the mix here. During the break, we'll try to figure out what's going on with the Mafia connection. The Gremlins are out at Mafia's house, disappearing on me. He's got like a whole like Halloween scene. You hear it behind him. And the Gremlins have taken over at the Mafia residence here. We'll get him back in the mix. They did make the extra point. 7-0 now for Arizona State. We need responses from Stanford, okay? I don't want to have a game here where Arizona State blows them out in the first half. I'm not going to be into that. I need Stanford to respond. We've already seen Shaw with an awful move to punt at the opposing 40. I cannot have him now go with a quick 3-and-out and give the ball back to Arizona State, or else things are going to get ugly fast for me here. We want Stanford to hang around in this game and make things happen. So I was telling Mafia, I'm in on Washington, like them a lot, at home against the Saints, not a buyer in what Sean Payton and the Saints are selling right now. Just not a buyer whatsoever. Give me the 2.5 at home. Maybe even a little money line we can get involved with as well. I think they win the game outright against Jameis Winston and the New Orleans Saints. I'll do this one fast, and we'll get Mafia back, get an opinion of him. The Jags and the Titans. How do you have any idea what's going to happen with the Jaguars on Sunday with all this nonsense during the week with Urban Meyer? Do you have any idea how to bet this game? Bizarre. Jags are getting 4.5 at home. The Titans looked awful against the Jets last week. Tough game to play. Pharrell on the bench. Carver High and Mafia in for Scotty tonight on Sports Grid Radio. We'll come back, keep going through all the NFL. Giants still up 2-0 on the Dodgers. Arizona State off and running against Stanford. We keep rolling on Sports Grid Radio right after this.
With people. Everybody expects every team in the effing league to win the Super Bowl. One team wins. The rest of them lose.
Nothing for you.
How about that? One last indignity.
All right. And we're back. Pharrell on the bench. Carver High and Mafia here with you in for Scotty on Sports Grid Radio. Logan Webb strikes out Pollock to end the top of the 5th. They move to the bottom of the 5th. Stanford just hit a big play on 3rd down to get them across the 50 as we're looking for Tanner McKee to move the ball into the end zone for the Cardinal. Mafia, I have you back. Tennessee and Jacksonville, this game is absolutely, when you talk about games that you don't want anything to do with whatsoever, be as far away from as possible. That's what this Jacksonville, Tennessee game is to me on Sunday.
Yeah, I agree. And apparently my computer and mic are trying to tell me that I should feel the same way about New Orleans and Washington, because every time I try to talk about it, cut me off. But, you know, trying to keep me from making a fool of myself, I guess. Tennessee and Jacksonville is dangerous. It should be one where you're looking at it and you say, yeah, Tennessee should just destroy them. I mean, Jacksonville looked good against Cincinnati, so you ought to give him some credit. But the way that all this Urban Meyer drama is breaking out, the team doesn't like him, he looks like an idiot. And, you know, it should be a roll by, you know, Tennessee, despite having the injuries that they have. But, I mean, when you see something like 86% of the money and 98% of, or 86% of the tickets and 98% of the money on one team, that always scares me. So I'm staying away.
Yeah, it's a really, really tough game to get involved with. Look, once the players get on the field, they're not going to care about the Urban Meyer stuff anymore. They do want to win a football game. They're 0-4. They've looked awful. They had a chance to win a game in Cincinnati last week, and they blew it. That's what's going to matter when they get on the field, not what happened with the dopey Urban Meyer thing. All right, Pharrell on the bench, and Stanford, are they in? They're down at the one, Mafia. Stanford going in here, baby. Let's go. Carver High and Mafia in for Scotty. Pharrell on the bench. We keep rolling. Hour number two right after this.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.